Welcome to the Influence Community Podcast.
We are your hosts, Danielle and Alyssa.
We talk about all things influencing and the ever-changing industry.
We share a lot of tips, our personal experiences, and how to keep up with the social media space that's always evolving.
We also love to chit-chat and share life updates along the way.
We're so happy you're here and so excited for this week's episode.
Grab your drink of choice and let's dive in.
Hey guys.
Hi queens.
Welcome back to the pod. Sorry things are a little inconsistent lately. Pregnancy is inconsistent.
Honestly, like I feel like you're doing so well though with it. Like some weeks I'm like fully expecting. I want to be like, we don't have to record this week, but like you've been very consistent.
Consistency is very important to me.
Yeah, like, I love it's
that. Like honestly like a personality trait, so it's like so hard to not, but like some weeks like last week I was just like I cannot. Yeah, so
and we all understand. And I'm glad you rested.
Yes, avoiding getting sick because I just like really don't want to take medicine just because like I want to try to keep everything like clean obviously, so
yeah.
Just chugging a bunch of orange juice, vitamin C, and getting lots of rest. But
yeah,
been that. But yeah, I guess we can jump into some updates. We have a Q&A episode this week, so really excited. You guys, seriously, we were just talking about this, have been asking such good questions, whether mm-hmm. it's personal questions or related to content in the industry. I feel like you guys are asking really good questions, so we love that.
Yeah.
But yeah, before we dive into those, just some updates and whatnot. So let's see, pregnancy updates. Will be 30 weeks, I think.
Oh my God.
30 weeks, that's, which is so
that's
crazy.
So crazy.
I feel like it's truly weeks. Flying by.
Yeah.
I know. I did my audio, the like 16 felt the 16 week to 28 one, and then there's the Kylie Jenner one at, so I'm 34 weeks today.
That oh audio. Yeah, okay, I was like, wondering what
my like was. Pregnancy like benchmark with my yeah. audios. Yeah, so crazy. 30 weeks. I definitely feel like obviously I have a big bump now, but it's more like it's giving more round and more like defined pregnancy instead of me feeling yeah. just like a bubble, like it is like actually giving, like I don't know, for me at least that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
And yeah, other things I'm trying to think. Yeah, I definitely unfortunately have been going pee like 3 times a night, which really sucks. And this past week I was waking up randomly at like 3. I would get up and go pee at 3 and then I wouldn't be able to fall asleep until 4, so I'm just like kind of wide awake for an hour in the middle of the night for no
reason.
I
see.
So that's
do you feel her kicking
all the time? All the
really?
Time. Yeah. Like sometimes it's like very like not aggressive, but like you're like, whoa, what are you doing in there?
Oh my gosh. She's gonna be a little gymnast.
Yeah, she's gonna tumbling come out tumbling. I feel like I'm starting to kind of get like a little swollen. Like most of my rings are off at this point. I have like one left. Mm. And then my Aura ring is getting tight on my pointer finger, so I've been wearing it on my ring finger.
Yeah,
but I really want to like keep wearing it because I feel like it just gives so much good insight, so I really hope it fits. Yeah, what else?
Swamminess. Wow.
Yeah, like setting up the nursery, getting all the stuff in there, planning out the decor.
Can't wait to see it.
Kind of vibe. And then other than that, I feel like appetite's good, like eating normal, eating my gluten and dairy, which is so fun. I am like, wow, this is what aww. Normal people feel like.
Yeah.
Like, truly to eat. If you can eat gluten and dairy and then be completely unaffected by it afterwards, like, you are so lucky. Because I'm mm-hmm. like, wow, this is how people actually feel. Like, this is so nice.
Yeah. Hopefully it stays.
I hope so. So yeah, I feel like appetite's been like good, normal, whatnot.
Any cravings?
And no, I don't think so. Nothing like crazy, just like sweets. So like anything sweet, like fruit. I really love like pineapple, peaches, strawberries.
Yum.
Or like ice cream, cookies, chocolate. Mm-hmm. Like anything like sweet.
Love that.
I'm like, yes. So yeah, I'm trying to think anything else. That's pretty much it. for pregnancy updates, 30 weeks. And then the appointments, like the doctor appointments, start to get a little more frequent. So right now, I think I'm at like a every 2 week situation for the appointments. And then I think the last month or so is every week, which is interesting. So,
wow, okay. And you like your doctor?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I love my doctor. She's great. Yeah, and then got to start my online birth classes, and we have to meet with our doula. I'm going to have a doula. I'm really excited about that.
That's so exciting.
And, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Wow. And then just like prepping baby shower stuff and, like, maternity shoot as well to, like, plan that.
Oh, my God, but, fun.
Yeah, so we have Andrew's baby shower, and we are doing it this weekend. And we're doing the at-home hibachi again. We did that for our housewarming party, and it was
so fun. Much
fun. And I just like wanted to do something with his friends, so I'm like, okay, we'll just do like a casual hibachi hangout. Whereas like my baby shower for me and my friends, I feel like it's just gonna be this like really cute production, basically, is how I describe it. Oh my god,
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's gonna be like so cute. And I have a planner helping me, and I just love her vision and her vibes, and I feel like me and her aesthetic are so similar. So if like I don't like something, I can tell her like what I like, what I do like, and what I don't like, and then she can just like search on Pinterest really fast, and she's like, okay, what about this? And I'm like, exactly, like you get it, perfect.
Oh, so, love that. And that's in like 2-ish weeks.
Yeah,
right?
They're 2 weeks apart. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait.
So
it's gonna be stunning.
Really exciting, and just crazy how fast it's flying by.
Yeah. Like, so it really is.
Yeah. Super crazy, but it's been good and fun. And I feel like overall I would say I enjoy the pregnancy process, or just like the time.
Good.
Like some people don't love it. But like so far I'm at a point where I'm like, I could do this again. Like,
okay.
You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, that's great. I was afraid like, that you'd be like really sick. Cause like, I feel like you get sick easy. I mean, I was in
the first trimester.
Yeah.
But like in retrospect, looking back, like it was like super normal. Like,
yeah.
I think working from home is also super helpful. Like if I had to go into an office or into a job, or if I was still working at Sunglass Hut, like I would have been unwell. I would have been like, no way. Like, forget that. So
yeah,
to all the women who do that and who don't work at home, and like the first trimester is when you're not telling people either, so you're like so ill, you don't feel good, you can't tell anyone, so you're just like, I don't know.
Yeah,
but yeah, working from home is like really nice, obviously, in that aspect, so you feel really lucky for that.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Super excited for all the things coming up. I feel like as I get further along too, I'm like, okay, birth doesn't seem so scary. Okay, like my body's
okay.
I got this. Like, I feel like when you first get
birth,
like, oh my gosh, I like have to give birth. Like, that's crazy.
Yes.
But I feel like I really censor what I watch on TikTok or whatever, because like everyone's experience is so different. Every pregnancy is different. Everyone's body is so different. So like, it does help to maybe sometimes listen to people's experiences, but to not get too caught up in it or worried or like whatever, and just like do what feels good to you. And like, I genuinely feel like weightlifting during pregnancy has helped so much. And like, even to the point of like, when I'm lifting myself up in the middle of the night and like switching sides, like, I feel like it just,
that makes sense. You just feel strong helped. Probably.
I'm like, I don't, if I was not lifting weights, I probably would not be able to like turn myself over right now. yeah.
Oh, so, I'm glad you're doing that.
That's been like really, really good. So yeah, that's my pregnancy update this week. I feel like, we're like
a few more
stretch, which is so crazy. I know.
It's literally
like, I had to plan my nails around everything, because I was like, I want to do my fall nails, but like I have baby shower nails and birth nails. So I've like done my 2 fall nails. I've done my brown and I've done my burgundy. My next set will be for the baby shower. And then I think the next set will be like birth nails. So
birth nails, love that. What are you gonna do? Nails. Like a classic,
just like normal, yeah,
yeah,
like ombre chrome, pretty cute. Nails. But yeah, so funny. But
aww.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it for that. What about you? How was your trip?
It was good. I went to Vermont for the first time this week and it was so cute. I've literally never seen anything like that in my life. Like, it just looked literally like the Gilmore Girls
Yeah.
set and like the Hocus Pocus set. Like, just cute
Cute.
houses, fall leaves, like very simple, sweet living out there. Everyone was super nice. And yeah, definitely very fall. Very much not like anything here. We do not get leaves like that.
And like
It
our palm trees
was,
could never.
I know. So it's like, I guess they really prep the town for this time of year, and they call the people who visit leaf peepers. And like, it's really busy
You're a
this time of
leaf
year.
peeper.
Leaf peepers, yeah. Because everyone like visits just to see the leaves, but I guess it's kind of hard to plan it during peak season, but I was pretty close. Like, we went maybe a few days after peak season, so the leaves are starting to fall, and then it's
But then
raining
they're at
all
least they're
week, so
on
I
the
think it's
ground.
gone.
Oh.
Yeah, they're
Oh.
so beautiful though. Like, the trees are so big and lush, so when they're all on the ground, it's different. Like, you could just lay in them, but the trees are just like a brown stick because they're like very thin branches, I'd say. So it literally is like a stick. So I'm glad we got to see them before the rain starts this week because I do think they're going to be gone. And I was kind of
Wow.
surprised, like, lots of girlies were asking, like, I think a lot of girls are planning on going, so hopefully you make it before they're all on the ground. But
Is there like a
it was
major
cool.
airport there? How do you get there?
Yeah, so Burlington Airport, I think we flew in from, but actually leaving, it was a lot cheaper to fly out of Boston. So there are jumper planes from this small, like, little area. It's called Rutland Airport, and you take a jumper plane to Boston, which was so crazy. I've never seen or been in a plane that small before. I was very scared, but it was really cool because you could fly over the whole state. Yeah, definitely an interesting experience. Like, you literally, we were sitting right behind the pilot. I was like,
How
oh
many
my
people are in
God.
this jumper plane?
Six. I think there's 10 chairs total, and there was six on. Yeah, it was so interesting. It was
Wow.
very, yeah, it was kind of cool. I was like, this is kind of like a cool experience just to like see all the leaves in Vermont from above. So, loved
Pretty.
Vermont. I used to think Vermont was the most random state, but I get it. Like, it's very pretty.
Love
So,
that.
yeah, it's gonna be a busy weekend because my sister is in town. We're going to a Chapel Roan concert tonight in LA, and then we're going to Disneyland on Sunday. I'm so excited. I haven't been to Disneyland in years. And it'll be fun because her boyfriend's going, and then it'll be like a double date with me and Josh and her boyfriend. So, she's visiting from med school, if anyone doesn't know that.
Cute.
So yeah, fun
Fun.
fall things. And then we haven't talked about this much, but Taylor
I
Swift's
know.
album, like, did you like it? What were your thoughts?
Yes, I feel like I respect her so much. It's just like an artist and a poet, like someone who's just not like
Yes.
chasing the industry standards and who really sees it as an art and someone who really like appreciates their fans and like will go against the grain if she has to. And like, so like as an artist in that aspect, I just like really respect that, I feel like. And of course she's at the point where she can do that, but I feel like she's been doing that her whole career, which is what sets her apart from, all the other quote unquote pop girlies or whatever. But I feel like for me, like it's like a process. Like when she drops a new album, I listen to all the songs and I like look and see like the name of each song as it plays. And then I'll go through and listen again and not look at the names and be like, okay, which ones are like sticking? Which ones are catchy? Which one am I like, ooh, I really like that. So I feel like I'm still in my process, but I feel like,
Love
okay, let
that.
me look up. Let's see. Okay, I pulled it up. Okay, yeah, like off the top of my head, just like looking at the tracks without hearing them, I love Elizabeth Taylor.
Same.
Love Canceled. What else? Those are like my top two right now, I think.
I love Fate of Ophelia. Do you like that one?
Yes. Yeah.
It's the
those
first
I feel
one.
like are my like top ones.
Yeah.
I like wanted to love eldest daughter more, but I think it needs to grow
Same.
on me, so I think I need to keep listening. I think it's just one of those things.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
What about you?
I think, like, okay, I don't know if you're seeing all the backlash, and sorry, there's a gardener outside. I hope it's not that loud, but if you hear, like, a light humming, it's coming closer.
I don't think so. I think the audio, like, does a good job.
I think I can take out background noise, so that's what I'm going to try to do. But, yeah, I just think it's a fun album, and it's not too serious, and there's a lot of backlash on it. Like, this is not her best album by any means, but it's, like, a fun one, and just letting us into what her life is right now. And I think it's really cute and fun to, it's just so cool and interesting to me thinking about artists. Like, we are updating our like audience every day, and we hear from them once a year, if that, on an album. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's like cool being let into like what her life is like right now and like how she's feeling. And like, it's a fun album. Like, it's, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just think the people who hate it are taking it too seriously, and they're like, oh my god, it's finally her flop era. Like, I don't know if you're seeing all that on TikTok. It's really crazy. But like, for example, people don't like eldest daughter because, and I mean, the lyrics are very interesting. Like when she says, I'm not a bad bitch and this isn't savage, like people think it's like very memey. I don't know. But
I think people just love to hate, and they just look for any reason to hate. And like, obviously, it's like such clickbait, which is like the one thing I hate about TikTok, is like people just put up these videos to rage bait or whatever it's called. And I'm just so uninterested. But I feel like she's just been in fight or flight for so long because of men, because of the industry, just like whatever. And now she's finally, have you seen those going around too? It's like fight or flight and then something like peace. And something. So I feel like she's like switching over to, okay, quick technical difficulties. We're back.
Yes.
But what I was saying, I think she's just in this like soft, calm era of like actually being in love and feeling safe and protected. And like, she can like write about happiness and like love. I don't even know. I just don't get why people like judge her so like hard. It's so weird. It's just like, this is where she's at in life. And this is, and like, we're actually, I feel like we've never seen her like this with a guy before, like ever. And so I feel like that album just like reflects that. And she's being cheeky and cute. And like, literally there's like an explicit logo on like every song. And like, she's never done that like on her album.
I know. It's
like,
it's cute and fun. And she's happy. Yeah. And people love to hate girls that are happy.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, oh, well, she used to stand for this and now she stands for that. And it's like, people can evolve and change. And like, that's what the whole life process is. Like, even your favorite creators, like they go from like being single and dating to finding a boyfriend to getting engaged and married. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just like the evolution. So it's like,
yeah,
that's what we're witnessing with her right now. And I feel like it's just like, I feel like I'm so happy for her because like,
I know, same. And I love that, like,
trenches
she's taking
that she's
us
been
along.
Publicly. Yeah. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, and she always said, like, she had this fear if she, like, was happy in love, getting married, like, her art wouldn't do as well and people wouldn't like her. And, like, it's – that's such a sad thought, and that's, like, literally what's happening on part of her fan base, which, like, honestly, I don't even think they are fans. So I'm not even going to say it's part of her fan base. It's, like, the people who didn't like her to begin with. So,
yeah.
That's our thoughts on the Taylor Swift album.
But I feel like it's great to, like, I mean, it's obviously not a lot of, like, bops you're going to hear on the radio, but I feel like that just, like, sets her apart because she just, her music does so well without being, like, blasted on the radio all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's just good, like, music to have on in the background and, like,
yeah.
I don't know. I just, like, love it's how fun. Artistic and poetic she is with, like, how she describes things. Like, I love it.
Yeah. I know, same.
So.
She just, like, she is the bar. That she, like, she is the bar. Like, she sets the bar, and she's always, like, the first one to do certain, like, things, but, yeah.
And also the sad thing, too, last thing on this, I feel like sometimes women just love to hate on women when it should be the other way around. Like, obviously, like, women supporting women, and, like, I just feel like she's, like, in terms of business, like, she's such a hustler. She's so smart and savvy, and, like, with all her Easter eggs and like everything she does is so just like specific. And I love the planning aspect that like goes into that. And like, she's just so thoughtful literally about everything. And like, what other artist can you say does that?
Yeah.
Like truly to the level.
By the way, have you watched her Fate of Ophelia music video?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Do that after this because it's so cute. You'll love it. Okay. It's literally so fun to watch and it's so detailed down to every single thing. We watched the movie when it came out, Josh and I, at like 9 p.m. at the theater.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was really cute seeing like the behind the scenes. I'm sure it'll be out on streaming, honestly, but it was pretty much like the behind the scenes, the making of the music video, and it was just so cute and detailed. Like, if you guys haven't watched it, go watch it. It's so good. Okay. She's so cute and talented. Oh my god, it's giving budget.
Love,
obviously,
yeah, but she's earned it. She's worked hard for it.
Totally.
Okay, lots of rambling there, but yeah, we just had to address that. Okay, diving into influences of the week this week, what is your current influence?
Okay, I feel like if you guys have noticed, I just love Teddy everything. I think it's such a fun fall, like, I don't even know what to call it. It's just like a fun,
like a
fall
texture
or thing. Yeah. Like even just like the outlines of Teddy's or like the emoji. I just think it's like so cozy and cute and fall. So I have like so many random Teddy things that came in, like a sweater. I got the Jelly Cat Bartholomew Bear like makeup pouch. It's really cute. It's just like a fuzzy bear.
I feel like, is that in your suitcase pick?
I have like so many little bear things in there. I got like this little makeup bag from Etsy that was really cute. I just think it's like fun and girly and cute for fall, so I feel like I'm just buying so many little Teddy things and I love it. It's just my little obsession right now. And Uggs, oh my god, all of my money is going to Uggs right now. I had to try them, but I did buy the ballet flats because I kept getting have you seen them?
No.
Okay, they came out with UGG ballet flats and they're just like a suede ballet flat with Sherpa lining around it.
Okay,
they're so different that I just wanted to. And then they kept serving me this one ad of these girls. They had like these really cute, they were wearing like chic outfits. They were wearing like these leg warmers with a skirt and tights and it looked so cute. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to order it. And
wait, are they pink or the normal UGG color?
The normal, they're like the brown ones.
Okay.
Brown and white. They're really cute. So I ordered those and then I just got the pink Uggs, which by the way, guys, it says back order on the website. So I back ordered them. It says it wasn't going to come until November and I just really wanted them right now. So I went on StockX, put in a bid, not thinking they were going to take it. And what do you know? I get the Uggs the next day and of course the StockX person accepted it literally right then too. So I accidentally bought two pairs and the StockX ones I probably paid $80 more for. Like, so
you
annoying.
You could just resell them on StockX.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that. I hope they stay sold out.
I did that with those Birkenstocks that I got because I ordered the wrong size because I was just confused. I don't know why. The reviews were interesting because, like, the photo of the product was on a man. So I was like, they must be men's shoes then because it was only on a man. So
that
I
makes
got
sense.
My size in, like, the conversion size. But it was just they were normal, like, European size. And so I ordered the wrong size off of StockX. And you can't – wait, was it? Yeah, and you can't.
You can't return
them, which
and
is
I'm
so
pissed about it. I don't
but
think I'm going to buy from them again.
Then Anthropologie, like, got them restocked, and the one by me had them in the store, so I ran, got the store ones in my correct size, and then I resold the ones I got on StockX, just put them up for sale, and, like, made more money. Like, I put them up for, like, a decent
amount.
That
makes me feel better.
Yeah, so definitely do that. Or Poshmark even, too, maybe. Like, I feel like people will buy those, like you did. Like, there's someone else out there who is like wants them right now, you know?
Right. Yeah. So I hope they stay sold out on UGG. But
I like they
so
do. Like,
annoying
Uggs,
because
like, sell out in like August and then they get another restock in like January. So it's like you miss the whole season.
But it's just, and it's so crazy. Like, I pre-ordered them on UGG. They came the next day. I was like, okay, maybe this is like a marketing tactic, but I don't know. Anyways, those are my influences. What about you?
Okay, so my influence right now, I'm really obsessed with I think it's called mock neck sweaters. Like, it's not a turtleneck, but it's like a sweatshirt with like the neck is up a little. Like, I feel like everyone has like the Free People one right now. I ordered the Dairy Boy one. Literally haven't even opened it yet. I'm so behind on opening packages. But and then I've had this one that I got a while ago from Park that I've been wearing. But it's just like literally a sweatshirt, but like the neck part is up. And I just feel like I like it because the neck is like loose. So it's not like a tight fit, but it's just giving like super fall and cozy.
Yeah, I feel like it's a little more chic, like a little more elevated.
Like Princess Diana vibes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. I see.
So I've been loving those. And I think right now I'm just trying to order like cozy, cute matching sweat sets to wear like for post-birth, because I think that's just going to help me feel better. Like, even if I am wearing sweats, if I'm wearing like a cute matching set situation, then like that'll help me feel a little more put together.
So,
Makes sense. Loving mock neck sweatshirts right now, and they're just so cozy. But I feel like I own too many sweatshirts in general. I need to like go through and purge.
I know, I just did that. They take up so much space.
And yes, they take up so much space. So yeah, I need to do that. But yeah, so that's my influence right now. It's just like, I want the weather to be colder, because like, oh, that's another pregnancy update. I run so hot. Like, I'm still hot all the time. I'm basically sweating. Thank God we just got solar on our house, because I'm running the AC at like 65. And I will ask Andrew and be like, is it hot in here? He's like, no, it's like the Arctic. He is sleeping with like the comforter, a big blanket, and like wearing clothes. And I'm like on the other side of the bed with like a sheet and like my bra and underwear. Like, I'm so hot. So it's hard to wear like hard, cute, cozy things right now, because I am just like running so hot. So I would love the weather to get cold soon, but I don't know if that's gonna happen. So we will see. But yeah, okay. I feel like we have talked a very long time, so we should just jump in. Our questions. Okay, so we're gonna start with some more kind of like personal questions that you guys submitted, and then we'll dive into the content related question. Okay, first one is, I would love to know more about your personal stories creating content early on. So cute.
Yeah, so cute. I feel like we go into this probably in our first episode more too, but yeah, personal story creating content early on. I feel like I started, I feel like this is kind of a repeat, but for anyone new,
I feel like we could like honestly do like a whole updated episode.
Yeah, we should.
It's been so long, but
maybe we'll save the deep dive for a refresh on that. But I guess like long story short, I was in college and I just had so many clothes. Also, this was 2017. And I had so many clothes, never wore them, but loved to buy them. I've always like loved fashion, whatever, just had so many things with the tag still on, was always just shopping, seeing what like the YouTubers were buying, and loved watching hauls on YouTube so much. And I remember Josh would visit me in college and he would just like be like, you literally never wear your clothes. Like, you should do something with them. And then I was like, okay, I need to just like start taking photos in them, and like, at least like that gives me a reason to wear them. And so I started doing that, and like I literally created like a whole separate Instagram for it, because it was not a thing to be a content creator at all, literally at all. And the girl, like the really big girls that I saw doing it, which was like, I remember coming across the blogs, like the blogs, like the Blonde Salad, Kiara, like Farrah, whatever.
Oh, do you guys know what I'm talking
about? Yeah. She was like one of the first girls I ever found. And she really inspired me. So I was like, okay, I'm going to make a blog. And so I made a blog, and someone told me about We Wore What, and I never saw anything about her. Obviously got some inspo from like her name, like when I was thinking about She Styled What. And I loved what she was doing. And so I was kind of like, oh my God, okay. I knew like three other girls doing it. I didn't think this was a thing at all. And then I moved back to San Diego, found out there's like a whole community out here. And that's actually how I met Alyssa. By going to like events, which was so scary, and we'll deep dive on that. But went to an event alone, found the community, and then like understood this was like something I could actually do. But honestly, like looking back on it, because now 2018 seems so far away. And when I tell people I started in 2018, like they're kind of surprised. Like I feel like we're low, like it's kind of giving OG at this point, because like truly content creator wasn't a term, influencer was not a term. It was called a blog. And like you had to have a
Blogger.
physical like blog website to be taken seriously, I guess. Like that was the whole point of it. Like your caption would be like, read about it on my blog, or like new blog up, like,
Yeah.
which sounds so crazy. So
Crazy.
it's like really cool how long we've seen the industry like shift and change. And I think it's really cool that we can like have a podcast and talk about like the contrast between then and now, 'cause like we've really seen so much. But yeah, that's kind of like how I started. Long story short, what about you?
I think for me, so I was a store manager at Sunglass Hut at the time, and a lot of my, when you're in retail, a lot of your employees are college students, like part-time jobs, whatever. And so I was like, would always overhear them kind of talking about like these like girls who like had 20K on Instagram, and it was like so crazy and like whatever. And I was like, oh, okay, that'd be fun. And I feel like working at Sunglass Hut too was also my entry into the fashion world, because we carried a lot of the designers. So we'd go to like a lot of brand trainings, like Chanel would do brand trainings like at really nice hotels in the area. And so like if your store carried Chanel, like it was like really special, because Chanel's like very
Oh my God,
picky with who they put
cool.
their products, like what stores, and they have these like rules that like certain stores can't be like a certain distance close to each other. So we were really lucky that we had it, because the Nordstrom also had it too, and that was very rare to have two like options close together, I guess. But so yeah, we would have like these trainings with these brands, and I feel like you would really get to like know the brand and the fashion house and just all the details and everything. And so I feel like that's kind of what started my love for fashion and designers. I like would have like all these designer sunglasses, because like of the employee perks, like you know, sometimes you get 50% off of like a Chanel sunglass, like that's pretty good. So I would like have all these sunglasses, and then like kind of like dabbled into the shoes to kind of match, because I feel like that's like the next step. But yeah, so I feel like my love for fashion really started with Sunglass Hut, and then the girls who were working on my team were really cute, just like fashion college girls, which is like how I started too. And they would like talk about Instagram. So I was like, okay, maybe I'll just start posting. And like, obviously, it was very different. Like, I was not posting like fashion outfits. It was more like beachy, boho, surf vibes.
Yeah,
You guys are an OG,
that
and
was
that's
the San Diego
how
vibe.
Fashionably Served came along, was because like instead of being like fashionably late to something, I thought I was being cheeky
Yeah,
and Fashionably
so
Served.
cute.
So yeah. So I feel like that's how I really got into it. And then yeah, I feel like at the time having like 5 to 10,000 followers was a lot and pretty big. And that, and then brands, not even brands, I don't even know. Like I guess brands or like event companies started hosting these like small events for the quote unquote bloggers in the area. And then we would like go to them, and that's how I started making friends. Because like genuinely, I did not have that many friends in San Diego at the time, because it's so hard to make friends when you move to a new city post college. Because it's like, okay, you work, but like I wasn't able to be friends with my coworkers because I'm the boss and you can't be friends. You know what I mean? So it's like not like I was in an office setting with like coworkers that I could hang out with. So I feel like that's really what like created a community and friends. And I was like, okay, like all these girls are so cute, so nice, so sweet. They all love fashion too. Like then you like have that in common. So I feel like that was like what really started early on. And yeah, it's definitely giving OG, because stories were not a thing. Like literally it was only in feed post, not even a carousel.
And one, yeah,
Yes,
one
like
single
one
one.
photo, that's it. And then we got like IGTV.
Oh my
So
God, IGTV, and that was crazy. I was like, a video? Oh my God, I was so intimidated by it.
So Yeah, I feel like that's how I pretty much got started. And then, yeah, just kind of kept doing that until it took off, I guess. So, but yeah, we could definitely do a deep dive in another episode and kind of redo that because I feel like it updated for anyone
Yeah,
looking
maybe we'll
for
do that later
their
this
stories.
month.
Yeah, so I feel like it's super fun because everyone's story is so different. And I remember in college, one of my big, one of her friends was a fashion blogger in college. And I was like, why would she do that? Like, how is she going to make money with that? Like, that's
Right.
so
That was
interesting.
always
I
the comment.
vividly remember having that thought, which is so crazy. And
Yeah.
now look where we are. So definitely full circle and crazy, but yeah. Okay. Next question is, how did you meet your husbands?
I met Josh when I was literally 13, which is crazy. We weren't dating since then, but our moms were scheming to like have us date, which is like so on
Ew.
brand for Josh's mom, Mindy. So on brand. Just really cute how it ended up working that way. We've did like a lot of family outings together with our family. So it was really sweet how it ended up working out. We never had to like introduce each other to the parents because like they loved the other person. But we never dated until sophomore year of college. I went to visit him at Berkeley. And I remember saying to my roommate so vividly, like, because I was so nervous to go visit for a weekend and stay at his frat house. I remember saying to her, like, I'm gonna come back and like never talk to him again, or I'm gonna marry him. And here we are. So
Love that.
cute story. And I also love your story. How did you meet Andrew?
So I was in a long-term relationship in college, and we were together like 6.5 years, and we're supposed to move out to San Diego together. And I moved out first because I was able to with my job to transfer. So I was like, okay, I'll go out, find a place, get situated, and then you can come out. So then I moved out, and then my ex decided he did not want to live in San Diego. So we like did long distance for like 6 months, and it just like didn't end up working out. And I truly thought like I was gonna like marry him, like had my whole life planned out, whatever. Anyways, that was not the case. And so he broke up with me, and I was like devastated. And then I was about single for about 6 months, I think, in San Diego, just like trying to meet people, like get situated in a new city. And then one weekend, like 6 months later, my roommates were out of town, and I was like, well, shoot. We would usually do things together, like go out to eat, whatever. But they were both gone. So I was like, maybe I'll like download Bumble and see like what these apps are about. So I created my little Bumble profile. And also, it was like not like poor, but like I was
Yeah,
like
like just not making a
trying
lot
to
of money.
figure out my situation because moving from Arizona to California, like obviously it's like a big expense change, with like rent and like California pricing and whatever. So I was still adjusting. So I was like, you know what? Like, let me set up some dates to get some dinner this weekend. So I set up a date like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, one each day. So I was like, great, that's my dinner plans. And Andrew was my Saturday date. So went on my Friday date, went on my Saturday date with Andrew. We went to sushi, just like close to where we lived. And then I had my Sunday date that I still went on, and like that was pretty good too. And then Andrew like messaged me and was like, hey, like I had so much fun on our date. Like, when can I see you again? Or would love to see you again or whatever. And then we hung out that following Monday. So just like a day or so later. And we just like went to the gym. Like it was very casual. Like we went to the gym and then he like cooked dinner at his place. And
Cute.
I feel like ever since that point, and like we were like, to me in my head, I'm like, okay, this is not serious. Like, I want this to be, I'm just gonna have fun, see where it goes. Like, no expectations, like, whatever. But I just felt like he would do things that like stood out so much to me that like my ex would not do that would drive me freaking crazy. And here was this guy that I just met offering to like do these things randomly. I'm like, you don't even know me. Like, why would you want to like help me out? Like, when I would have a shift during the day, he'd be like, hey, do you want me to go like take Dexter on a run.
That's like, do you want so me to go, nice.
Let Dexter out and like, yeah, like so random. Or like,
that's so sweet.
Or like if I had a shift, maybe like I had the evening shift, so like 1 to 9, he'd be like, hey, like, do you want me to like bike over and like bring you a smoothie? Like so random. But like cute, so cute. And just like, those little things. Yeah. Yeah. So just like, whereas like I could never get my ex to like take out the trash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like just like things like that.
And he took it out himself that time by leaving your life.
Yeah. So yeah. So we just like started hanging out and it just like became like very consistent. And I was like not really interested in like trying to explore other connections with people / make new connections. So it just kind of, we just like started hanging out like more and more and more. And then I was like, okay, so like, what is this? Like, we're dating, you know, we're boyfriend, girlfriend, we're exclusive, and so on. Yeah.
That's cute. So Capricorn of you.
Shout out.
Friday, Bumble. Saturday, Sunday. Dates lined up.
Ready to go. Yeah.
I love that.
Yep. A Bumble success story. Okay. Next question is, what is your superpower?
Love. I feel like, for both of us, we are really good manifestors, so I feel like that's a good superpower. Yeah. And I feel like I'm really good at like making other people feel like seen or welcome, or like I feel like people have said like you're really easy to open up to, and I feel like that's kind of a superpower.
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah, I feel like those two. What about you?
Yeah, I feel like mine is probably manifesting. Like,
yeah,
it's so funny, like my family, who I don't think believes in manifesting at all, and like I've also gotten Andrew on board to believe in it because I just like make things happen that I'm like very specific about. Like if I want something, like yes, I manifest, but I also like work hard for it and make it happen. But like I do all the things, but like my family or Andrew will always be like, of course you got this, like you manifested whatever. So that I feel like is probably my biggest thing. And then also I feel like I have like really good luck parking. And
you really
I
do.
I attribute that to good karma because I feel like I try to tip well, even though it's like tip culture is crazy, but obviously it's not the server's fault. You know, it's like the businesses that aren't paying their employees enough. So I just try to like be a good tipper. And I feel like that turns into karma. And
so
I get good
true.
Thoughts. So that too.
I know, you really do. You get really good parking karma. It's really funny.
Like, we'll be in LA and, like, have to, like, go to this, like, very specific place and, like, pull up. And there will be one parking spot right in front.
Yeah.
Of, like, exactly where we need to be. And I'm like.
Yeah, it's honestly really impressive.
So, yeah, that's what I would say. Okay. And then last personal question. Do you guys have any plans for Halloween?
I like hope I don't. I know some of Josh's friends like to like do stuff, but like I really just want to watch Hocus Pocus and like bake cookies or something wholesome. I'm not like a big dressing up. You would think I would be, but like I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. Like I don't really care that much. I feel like, and I don't know, I just like being home, especially for Halloween. It's so like cute. We love passing out candy. We got some trick-or-treaters. Yeah. And I think it's just like fun and cozy to like be at home, but I hope those are my plans. What about you?
Yeah, I also, if you know me, I just like don't like Halloween. I don't align with it in any aspect whatsoever. I don't like the color orange. Like it's just like not my vibe. I don't know. So like I don't really, I kind of forget about it honestly, but
yeah
like
I love this time of year. It's like fun.
Don't really go out. Yeah. And yeah, we also have trick-or-treaters too. So like it's like really fun to be cozy and like put the dogs in their costumes and then the cute little kids that like walk around and trick-or-treat from our neighborhood is so cute. But then it's kind of like weird because you have like the tweens and they're so awkward when they trick-or-treat.
Yeah. Are you going to do king-size candy bars again?
I mean, probably. I don't know. Like we do like the, we have a little basket for like the little kids that go around, and then we'll get like a big like king size bars for like
that's kids, smart.
But I don't know.
So cute.
I think obviously like once we have a kid and like then they're into it, I'll be into it again. But until then, it's just kind of on that list of things that I don't really care for. I also don't like pumpkin flavored things. So I just like, as a person, am not aligned with the holiday.
Not aligned. I love pumpkin.
Like, I don't need Halloween to eat candy. Like, I'll just eat it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Don't like the colors. Don't like the flavors. Don't like
the holiday.
So, yeah. Just chill at home. Be cozy. Trick-or-treaters. Last year, we honestly didn't even get that many. And, yeah, like, watch a movie or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, diving into content questions. It's going to be a long episode, but that's okay.
I know.
Okay. Do you plan the exact content you'll shoot while traveling, or is it candid and go with the flow?
Definitely plan. This person, I remember she asked it in two parts. So she asked, like, do you plan the content, or is it candid, and are you planning the full video with reels, like the scene, setting, outfit, and audio beforehand? For content, I definitely plan it. If I don't, you're not going to like the content at the end of the day. Like, I just feel like the goal is to make it look like you weren't planning it. Like, that's when you know you got really good content, because, like, it should come off as, like, oh, I was already doing this. We were walking in this neighborhood, or, like, I was already here and, like, I got a quick three photos and posted it. You know, like, that's the goal, and people do not talk about that. You genuinely think, and I talked about this with someone recently, like, you really do think it's like these girls who have like a ton of followers, they'll literally just like go somewhere, take pics, and that's it. No, they're planning it, I promise you. So if you ever think, sorry to ruin the magic, but like that is the vibe. So pretty much like I'll save things beforehand, definitely go on Pinterest, kind of plan out what I'm liking, what I see my feed as, definitely for the poses, like what outfits I want in a certain pose. Like, by over planning, you're gonna love the content so much more, in my experience. And if you don't plan, like, you're gonna feel lost, and like it's gonna go by really fast, and then you're gonna regret not doing certain things. So for the video part of this question, I don't as much. I want to spend more time doing this, but I am right now planning more so the like photo aspect. I am planning like videos, but it takes just like so much more planning for me for some reason. Like, but I have like an album saved of like ongoing things that I see that I want to recreate. But the videos for me, I feel like, are a little less planned and a little more candid. But I obviously like doing outfits, or like get dressed with me, or like a collage vibe. But yeah, pretty much everything is planned. Yes. As planned as you can be is the better.
Well, and I feel too, when you're traveling and you're packing, you have to plan what you're packing. Otherwise, you're just going to pack so much stuff, and then it becomes very overwhelming. And then it kind of almost turns into paralysis from that, because you're like, oh my gosh, I have all these things I want to shoot. I don't really have a vision. You know what I mean? And then, and then you definitely just start way overpacking. So it's like, especially with trips that you have to pack for, then we've like talked about our PowerPoints and stuff, like knowing the location or as much as you can, and like what outfit at which location, like what pose do you want? Like you said, like the more planned you go into it, the better you're going to like the content, and it's going to come out kind of how you envisioned. I just think, like, obviously the goal is to look effortless and unplanned, but things are definitely planned, because it's just the most efficient way to do things. And I feel like if you don't go in it with plans, and you kind of waste a lot of time, and there's missed opportunities of like, oh, well, the weather's bad this day, what should I wear? Whereas like, if you had your outfits laid out and you knew, you could be like, oh, I could wear this in a rain with an umbrella, and this will be cute.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And really quick, touching on that too, like, I guess, like, I mean, like, everything is planned, but in the sense of like, okay, let's plan to go to this specific pumpkin patch, and like, I would love this pose at the pumpkin patch, but like, you're still going to the pumpkin patch and having fun, and like, yeah, you're there, but like, what you want. So like, and you can still have fun there, but it's just like more strategic with this job, and the more strategic you can be, the better. But it's still like,
and for the video aspect too, like, I feel like some people are just so good at having audios, and I feel like I definitely tried to do this, but like, I feel like videos are so easy to forget if you're doing like a transition or like a whole trip video. It's so hard to stay on top of it, but I did, I think it was the Paris trip that we went on, I did try to have a note with the link to the reel, whether it was the audio or the idea, and like described it in my note, like, oh, cute coffee outfit, audio. And then I would have the link ready. So then anytime we would go, I would like check my note and be like, okay, can I do any of my reels here? And then I would like do that and have the audio and or idea ready to go. And that was super helpful. And that was the first time I'd ever done that. So I got a lot more video concept and ideas that way. Otherwise, I feel like I fall into the just kind of filming the standard kind of video
Yeah, it's
situation.
just like, oh my God, it takes so much time leading up to a trip. You really need to dedicate like the week before, or else it's overwhelming and I just don't want to spend a whole day scrolling. Yeah, as
Or
far in
like as
advance as
soon as you book a
possible.
trip, just start productive scrolling. If you
Yeah.
see something, save it in an album, save the link somewhere so that, yeah, you don't have to spend a whole day prepping. Like as you see it coming, then you can save it and know like that's what you want to do. Yeah, definitely planned. I feel like it's just the best, most efficient way to do it and avoids disappointment and
Yeah.
frustration. And because sometimes lighting is very important and you don't have time to really think about these things. So you want to be prepared and ready to go. And if you're not prepared and don't have your plan, then like you could lose out on the lighting or like the person you're creating content with is losing out on lighting. Like it's a very, yeah, planned situation. And I'm just a planner in general. So I feel like that just how my brain kind of works. But
Yeah.
okay, next question is, how can I get connected with other influencers in my niche?
It sounds scary, but really just slide into the DMs and practice your networking that way. Like, even if you don't want to slide in right away with the let's hang out or like we should do this together, like just start responding to their stories. I feel like that's a really easy, like organic way to like build a connection. And like when you start swiping up on someone's stories, like they'll start swiping up on yours, and then you can have conversations. And then like eventually you're like, oh, wait, we should shoot here like sometime if you're free, something like that. I would just say like make it like an organic connection, engage with their content, slide up on some things, and like organically ask to meet up, shoot together. But I feel like a really big part of this industry is networking, and it's a really important skill to have. So definitely practicing that as much as you can, because it's also really important to be connected to other influencers and content creators in this industry. I think you gain a lot from it, a lot from connection with like your community and the people who are kind of like your coworkers, I guess. And it's just, yeah, overall beneficial. So it's not a scary thing. It can feel scary, but it's
And I feel like you
important.
can get the vibe too when you're starting to engage with someone that you want to potentially have a friendship with. Like, are you commenting on their posts? Are they like responding back to you and then commenting back on yours? And like, when you're responding to their stories, are they kind of engaging back and being like, thanks, girl? Or like, are they just like not responding to any of your interactions at all? So it's like,
True.
okay, maybe if they're not responding to interactions, maybe that's not their vibe, which is okay. Like some people operate that way. But yeah, and then going to events too, if you have events in your area, putting yourself out there, that's truly one of my favorite episodes that we have is going to events alone. And it's like one of the best things you can do for yourself is just putting yourself out there. And I feel like in that episode, we walk through like step by step, like what to do when you get to an event alone, basically. I feel like that's just another way to connect and just saying hi. But at the end of the day, I think any industry that you're in, it's so important to network and connect with others and just like build those relationships because, I mean, some girls live in areas where there's not really a ton of other influencers and like they have their own thing and they do their own thing and that works for them. But if you do have the opportunity to connect, I feel like honestly, for like your mental health too, it's very good because the industry can
Yeah.
be very lonely. And so if you have
So
a
lonely,
group of friends to do things with or just talk about things or someone who just understands your situation and gets you, it's super helpful because like, yeah, we tell our significant others about it, but that doesn't mean they get it. You know, like sometimes I'll complain to Andrew and he's like, I don't know how to help you because like I'll just mansplain what I think social media is and like it's not, or he'll try to like give tips and I'm like, babe, that's not how it works. Like, you know, like whatever. So it's like to have people to connect with who get it, I think is super helpful. And yeah, I think it's just good to have friends and like be able to lean on each other and do stuff together, shoot content together, and just, yeah, putting yourself out there is super important. I think mm-hmm. we both agree on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question is, can you talk about UGC retainers?
Okay, not gonna lie, like we did have to look this up. I feel like we're not, well, I don't think you do a lot of UGC, and when I do, it's like for a specific campaign. But from what we understand, UGC retainers are girls who do monthly UGC for specific brands, and I think this is becoming more of a thing. And I feel like it's giving early stages, but I think this could be obviously a very amazing opportunity for content creators, especially content creators with not as like big of a following, but like, you know, your abilities to create really aesthetic, really good content for specific brands. We're seeing this a lot more with specific creators like we follow, and mm-hmm. I feel like they start out small and then their UGC, if you're good, like it really blows up. Like people love a good detailed video or photo. So yeah, I guess like this question is pretty broad because it's just asking about UGC retainers. That's what we understand.
Yeah, I feel like it's giving, like, you work with the brand for UGC content, and the brand really likes your content. So then they want to set up another deal with you for their next mm-hmm. product launch or the next month or whatever. Like, maybe this brand, like, really just outsources their content and they don't really do a ton of in-house besides their marketing product and, like, web images. So they really mm-hmm. rely on UGC. So say you do a job with them for a month, they're really happy with it. I think retainer could also mean, too, like, okay, if the brand is really happy with your content and you know that, instead of setting up a 1 month deal with them, maybe try setting up like a 3 to 6 month deal and be like, hey, mm-hmm. so happy you love my content. I would love to work with you guys on a long-term basis and create X amount of content for you per month for this rate per month and lock in a longer contract situation, because obviously that benefits you financially so that you know you have this income coming in with for the future months. But like, then the brand also knows, like, great, we love her content, like we love her style of how she creates it, her vision, how aesthetic, whatever it is. And then every month you kind of know like how much work you're gonna have. And then I feel like if you can get that with a couple brands, like even maybe 3 to 5 brands per month, like that could be very lucrative and you could be making like really good money for that. But I think like, yeah, retainer to me sounds like keeping something like someone on a payroll for like multiple months, or like, you know, when you sign a retainer with a lawyer, you like are paying them per month for their work, and there's like a minimum amount of work that you will be paying for every month if they do it or not. So I think just like kind of how we talk about like long-term partnerships and content creation, like if a brand really loves it, be like, hey, would love to set up you know, a long-term deal, whether 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year, whatever the brand is, and be like, would love to work with you for that and set it up that way. I feel like it's a really smart business strategy for UGC creators if that's like definitely your strong suit and that's what you're really good at. So, and I feel like, again, yeah, like it's very, a lot more common. Like we follow someone on Instagram who does UGC for like Rode and Gisu mm-hmm. and MEJ and just like all the cute aesthetic brands. So I feel like there's so many brands out there who would.
And it's so smart. I feel like it's way cheaper for them too than mm-hmm. hiring a whole production day. And it's very, it just looks so much more organic. So
yeah,
I feel like there's a lot of potential there. And I would start like building up a portfolio and just posting aesthetic things now.
Yeah. Okay. Next question is, I just reached 10K and I want to start reaching out to brands. How should I do that?
Okay, well, congrats on 10K. Yeah. That is so exciting.
So exciting.
I would start seeing who girls in your kind of niche or girls that are similar to you, like kind of who they're working with, and saving those to a folder for you to reach out to. And it's really just as simple as sending a pretty brief little, hi, like I'm so-and-so, my content is mainly this. Like, here's my Instagram. Would love to work together. Let me know if this is of interest. Something like that. You can be more specific, or you can ask something very direct. Like, what do your upcoming, like, do you have, are there any upcoming partnerships for October that we can work on together? Something like that. Like, very brief, direct to the point, and not a yes or no question. As in, would love to work together. Don't just say that. Like, ask if there are any upcoming partnerships for October or Q4. Because if not, they're just going to be like, we'll keep you in mind. Like, I promise you that. So I would just be direct and literally just reach out to the brands and get their emails.
I think another thing that we talk about too is kind of starting the relationship before the relationship starts. So going onto this brand's profile on social media, and if you really want to work with them, follow them, engage with their content, like their posts, comment on their posts, like, respond to their stories and being like, oh, so cute. Like, kind of get on their social radar, and then maybe they maybe DM them too is like a good kind of soft way to lean into it and just be like, hi, absolutely love, you know, your brand, love your products. I love styling your pieces. Like, if you have, or beauty products, whatever it is. And then I always like to say, like, who would be the best person to reach out to regarding a partnership opportunity or whatever. And then that way you can kind of also get a feel, and they'll be like, oh, reach out to this email. So-and-so takes care of that, whatever. But then if they scroll up, they can see all the engagement that you've like done with them in the past. So like the first time you send the DM, it's not like the very first message ever that's being sent. And they're like,
yeah,
okay, why would we work with you? You've never posted about us before. You never talked about us before. Like, you don't follow us and you don't engage with our content. Like, what do you mean you like our product? And I feel like a lot of people kind of miss that step, and they just assume like, well, let me just like pitch them. I feel like that extra beginning prep can really go a long way and or set you apart when you are pitching. Cause it's like, oh yeah, this girl has like mentioned us organically a couple times. Like, oh, she's really active in our comments. And like sometimes I feel like this is like, it's a hack, but sometimes like with brands, like if I want a restock or like I want some of the product, I'll like go in and engage with like that specific content and like respond to the story, like hard eye, or like,
it really,
oh my gosh, this
works.
Collab is so good, like you guys killed it. Sometimes brands will come back and be like, oh my gosh, thank you, like we'd love to send you something, like do you want to receive, or like what's the best address to send to? Like, you never know what can come from that. So I feel like obviously the intention of organically engaging and building that relationship is a good way to start as well. If you don't currently have relationships with brands, it's just like doing that interaction, because then they can see that you're genuine about it when you are pitching, as opposed to being like, oh my gosh, I love your brand, and then never have like talked about them at all. Because at this point, like, I know we don't want to do like free work, whatever, but at this point it's like you have to do certain things that make you stand out, and it just comes off a lot more authentic and genuine. And I think brands really value that.
Yeah.
And they're going to pick that those kind of creators over creators they've never interacted with before. So it only benefits you to do that.
Also, it's like thinking about that the other way around. I don't know if, I'm sure you've gotten emails like this too, but like the emails I get from random brands who are like, we've been following you for so long and blah, blah. And I'll literally go to the account and they don't follow me, or it'll be specific like girls from brands. And yeah, maybe it's like they're from a different Instagram, but like, I feel like I can tell when it's a copy paste email. Like, I really can. So I think it's the same as the other way around.
100% So yeah, put yourself in the brand's shoes too.
Yeah.
Like, how do you feel when you get those? So
yeah,
but congrats, queen. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
10K is so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next question. What to do when an ad doesn't do well?
Okay, like a lot of the times it's a little bit. I know. A lot of the times it's like a little bit inevitable. And I do think brands kind of know that, especially with like, sometimes there's crazy guidelines. Like, you literally
sometimes
have to put a text overlay.
You do the most.
When like, you're doing the most, when it's like the most
paid
inauthentic
tag,
script.
Hashtag ad. I'm like, we do not have to do hashtag ad. Like, literally the FTC says it does not have to be hashtag ad. It can be these other variations.
Yeah, like you can be a part, like the brand name partner. And I just don't know why brands are doing the overlay on the video. Like, I just, I don't know. I don't get it. But Yes, this is really annoying. And I feel like in the earlier years, as in like literally probably last year or 2 years ago, I would feel so terrible if an ad didn't do well. Like I would literally take it upon myself to like, I would get anxiety and then I would text or I would email the brand and be like, I would be like, I'm so happy to do another round of stories or like post again. But now I do not think that way. Like honestly, first of all, it's on them if they have crazy guidelines. And also, we just do not have control over how our content performs. If you know, I think it's all about the intention. If you know you put in the work, you really like created a cool concept, it's good quality, like it's similar to your other content, like that's the most you can do. That's the best you can do. We do not have control beyond that. And it's literally, it is not your fault if an ad doesn't do, like, if it doesn't perform like your normal content. And some brands are out here really expecting, like, you to get X amount of views.
Like
Like
your
that is
highest like
so,
story views ever on their ad.
yes.
And you're like,
I
what?
think that is so insane, unrealistic, literally such a red flag. I saw this girl on TikTok and I really, really disagreed with her. I'm like shocked, honestly. I mean, okay, so like I guess the scenario was I think she works for the agency who like connects the brand to the creator. And this brand expected this certain creator to get like, oh, at least over 100,000 views, like millions on YouTube, and they didn't get it. And so like she had to like ask for a make good, which is pretty much like creating another piece of content. And she thought because it was a creator who had over a million, like they usually get that amount, like whatever. She was kind of fighting in the brand's defense. And I'm like, no, I don't know. I don't agree with that at all. Like, we literally have no control over the algorithm. If the intention was there, if you put in the work, it's not on you. And that is my take. I can't with brands who like have unrealistic expectations and think that like we can control how many views and like reach
Well,
a
and it's like
content
also
gets.
we know what works best with our audience, and when brands stray too far from that, it's kind of like, well, what did you expect then? Because this is what works for my audience, and then you have this brief where you're so specific, which it's fine when they have specific things, but like, for example, like they want it to be so organic and natural, but then they're like, make sure you mention these five talking points in
No,
your voiceover.
literally.
And you're like, well, then I can't make that authentic if I have to say these certain things. And then if you have to start the video with like, thank you so much, or I'm so excited to be partnering with so and so, that already takes up seconds. And then you're like I just don't know. Like, I mean, you only have so much time to say certain things. And then, so there's no time to like actually be yourself when they're so specific with what they want. So it's like the brands who get it and they give you that creative freedom and you can like submit your idea and submit your what's it called? Your script that you want to use and then they approve it. Love those. It's a lot more difficult when brands are like, "Oh, hey, I need you to mention these things, use the paid partnership thing, put the partnership tag on the screen, mention this is a partnering video, start the
Have it
caption,
in the first
hashtag
3 seconds.
ad." I'm like, I'll do all those things if that's what you want, but just know, like,
It's not going to perform the same.
and then I think if they want it to do well, then they need to put the ad spend behind it. Then they need to boost it if they want
Exactly.
views. You know what I mean? Because then it becomes on them. And like, yeah, some creators are really great and can get that engagement, but a lot of the times it's really hard. And that's the more normal part of it. And I feel like, too, as creators, this is just such a good reminder. If you see someone post an ad, engage with
Please
it.
engage.
Like, engage and like actually engage with the ad that is the product. Like, if they're promoting like a lip gloss, don't be like, "Oh my gosh, I love your
Love this
shirt."
outfit.
Yeah, like really, like I feel like it's just so like when someone another creator comments on my ad and is like, "Oh my gosh, I love this brand," or "Oh, this product is one of my favorites, I love," like I just get like a little tickle in my heart because I'm like, "Oh, thank you, queen." Like
Yeah,
that
like
is so
so
supportive and
supportive.
like
And you're gonna show that love back when they post an ad. So it's
yes.
like,
So
not
like
to be like,
instead of posting on your close friend stories and being like, "Please engage on my ad, just posted, like please show some love," how about we all just collectively like engage on each other's ads because we know how much it means to us and like it would get reciprocated. Like, let's create
A
that environment.
100%. Like, I'm sorry to be so blunt, but if you are posting on your stories saying, like, please engage on my ad, like, I think that you're probably not doing the same for other girls because I feel like I really try to carve out time in my day to be engaged on people, especially ads. And I just know the girlies are going to show up for me because I'm also showing up for them. And like, I'm trying to like harness this good energy on my platform. And I just feel like if you are there, like you won't have to post that. So yeah, let's just make sure we're doing that, girlies. Supportive queen.
Be a supportive queen and it'll be returned to you.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe that. So just keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. And comment, like, sometimes I'll comment like 3 times on someone's post. Like separate like comments. I'll be like, oh my God, I love so tag sweet. The brand. And then I'll be like, wow, this lip gloss is so pretty. I need immediately. Like, and then stunning. Whatever.
Right.
Like, it just helps. And like, we know that. So it's like, helps. Why not just like do that? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Rant over on that. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, at the end of the day for the ad, just know if you did your best and you followed all the bullet points that the brand sent you and you did what you could and you had limited controlled whatever creative freedom, like you did your best.
You did your best.
Can see what kind of content that you post and what results are going to be. And like, I feel like no brand should expect the same amount of engagement on an ad versus an organic post. Like there's
and then it always makes me feel better when like you can look at the post before and after and they did completely well and the same, but like unfortunately you had a crazy guidelines or something like that. So yeah, not on us. I don't worry about that anymore.
And also one last thing on this, because I feel like I could go on, but like
I know
at the end of the day, a content creator's job, in my opinion, is not a salesperson. We are not salespeople. Yes, it is a good benefit. And yes, if you have an engaged audience and they buy from you, great. That is great conversion, great ROI for the brand. But like at the end of the day, like our title is not a salesperson. And I feel like brands like don't understand that. And like if maybe you don't have that great of a product and like that's not the content creator's fault, like we're doing our best. We're going to promote it in the best way that we can. And I feel like brands who like expect, like some brands do expect crazy sales and some creators sell like crazy and that's great. But it's just like, I don't know. That's something personally I feel is like we are not only salespeople. Like we are creating the content, the concepts, the briefs, like editing, posting, engaging, getting your brand name in front of an audience that trusts us and that trusts our opinion and like introducing and just getting your name out there. So,
yeah.
I feel like I try to keep that in mind too.
Definitely.
Okay. Next question. We are almost done. What do you think separates those who make it versus those who don't in this industry?
I feel like keeping it short, I would say obviously consistency. I think that's probably number one. And like building this like resilience with posting. Like I feel like you really know someone's going to make it. Okay, I guess I'll like combine all my, okay. I feel like you know someone's going to make it when they're consistent with their content, even if it doesn't do well, because we have to start somewhere. If you like don't care and don't look at the views, like, and you just keep posting business as usual, even if something like completely flops, like you are going to make it if you're staying true to yourself. I also think it's extremely easy, very, very easy to look at someone's content and tell if they're just completely copying someone else and it's not authentic to themselves. So that as well, I feel like if you are sticking to your own brand, not copying just like what's trending or like someone else with their poses or locations that are doing well, also on top of the consistency, like you're also gonna make it. So I think it's just hard to get over that initial hump of like, oh wow, this flopped, I'm never posting again. Or oh wow, this flopped, I'm gonna take like 5 days off and see if the algorithm resets. It's not gonna, and that's a myth in my opinion. Taking a week off is literally just gonna hurt your account. Like, I'm sorry, I don't understand that mindset at all. Just keep posting business as usual. The more you show up, the more the platforms like will reward you. And also people will remember you and know that like you're a consistent creator that they can always rely on and take inspo from. So yeah. Those are my two things.
I feel like for me, probably the biggest thing is when it comes to those who make it and those who don't is like truly the consistency piece. And we talk about this all the time, but the engagement roller coaster of it going up and down and high and low, like it is what it is. And we can only do so much to control that, whether it's like trying new content or testing new things and like evolving over time. Yes. But the ones who are going to make it are the ones who stick with it through the low engagement. And I think when it like, that's what's going to weed people out is like when it's, oh, I have low engagement. Like screw this, I'm not doing this anymore, this sucks, like, I suck, whatever. Like, yes, it's frustrating, yes, it's hard, but it just truly ebbs and flows. And I feel like I have watched creators, like, go through periods, and it might even be a year of, like, super low engagement. And I'm sure that's, like, so frustrating for them, and, like, I feel for them. And then the next year, they could be, like, killing it, getting, like, tens of 20K likes, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, if they didn't keep going, they wouldn't have gotten to that point. So you just have to keep going no matter what. Like, keep showing up, keep being your authentic self, like, keep staying true to you and your content, and, like, obviously you evolve with the platform over time. And, like, I feel like those are the ones who make it, because I also feel like brands recognize and see the people who are showing up and, like, who have been there, and, like, regardless. And, like, yeah, if you have to do things like hide your likes, hide your views for your mental health, do it. But just know, like, you're not the only one who goes through low periods. Low periods could be 1 week, it could be a month, it could be a year. But it, like, if it's something you're truly passionate about and you love, like, you will keep going. And, like, sometimes I see girls post ads and they don't do well at all, but, like, they're still getting work. So, like, brands still like their content, and, like, they're doing the best they can. And, like, it is what it, you know what I mean? So it's just, like,
yeah,
I think the biggest thing is truly just those who are consistent and keep going through the lows. Because there was a point in time where people were going viral, they were, like, blowing up. I feel like this is, like, post-COVID, like, TikTok era, like, and then they would, like, hit that high, and they would either, like, kind of plateau or lose, and then they would, like, be like, I'm quitting, this isn't for me. And it's like, girl, you just got here. Like, this is not a typical thing to go viral like this, or to gain that much traction, and then, like, of course it's going to plateau and, like, kind of, like, even out. So, yeah, I think just those who stick with it are the ones who make it. Two more questions. What ethical considerations do you take into account when working with brands?
I feel like I work with brands that have, like, an ongoing relationship. I have an ongoing relationship with, and that I'm very, very familiar with and know. But if it's, like, a new brand that I'm not really sure about their company, like, I will definitely do some research and see what the vibes are. And for example, I mean, I kind of work with a pretty specific niche of brands. So this isn't, like, something I have to think about too much, but if it's a brand I'm unfamiliar with, I'll do some research. I also really do not like working with, like, the Shein, Temu vibes.
I feel like it's, for me, what considerations do you take into? I feel like it's, like, as long as it's aligned with my personal brand aesthetic, it's a brand that has, like, a good reputation, good morals, and, like, I see them working with creators that I like, that I aspire to be, like, whatever, then I feel like, yeah, that's kind of a no-brainer. Like you said, sometimes when it's a newer brand, you have to kind of do your research and, like, do that deep dive, and, like, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. And then also, I feel like I just try to avoid brands that I know don't respect creators, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
like, we've seen a lot of creators post about a certain brand being like, they paid me late, or, you know, they whatever. Like, I feel like there are just some brands out there who don't respect creators, or who are like, oh, we never pay our creators. And I'm like, that's not a good thing to say. Like, that's not something to be proud of, in my opinion.
Yeah, no.
And there are brands that say that, like, out loud. And I'm like, okay, I just don't align with that. So probably not going to work with you, which is fine. But
yeah, oh, I see what you mean. Like, they don't do paid campaigns. I thought you meant, like, like, they just don't pay their creators when they say they will. Okay, I get what you're saying. Like, they don't do paid
campaigns because they don't, quote unquote, have to, and they're so cool.
And that's fine for small brands, but if you're, like, a big brand, I feel like it's, I don't know, like, why not?
Right, like, why not support a small business, a small creator, and someone who's supported your brand for a long time? And, like, why wouldn't you? I don't know. That's just weird to me. So things like that, I feel like I'm very aware of. And I will take that into consideration. But as long as, like, we're pretty much aligned, it's not a super controversial brand, like, the same aesthetic, same vibe, same, I don't know. I feel like that's my kind of checklist I go off of, if that makes sense. Okay. Last question is, how do you define success in your job, and how has that definition changed over time?
I love this question. feel like in the
the good ones to
beginning,
end on.
yeah, in the beginning, I definitely thought it came from a follower account, which is so LOL. But like, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like when you're starting out, like, you think that's what matters the most. And then realizing that your actual community and how engaged you are in your community and how engaged they are with you, that is the true success. But I also think it's like, if you feel successful in it and if you feel good doing it and if you feel like aligned and authentic, then I think that's success. Yeah. What about
Yeah, I think when
you?
you initially start out, all like the shiny things and the flashy lights are really exciting and intriguing, and you're like, yeah, I want this many followers, I want to make this amount of money, I want to go to these fritzy brand events, get all the gifting, get all the free product, blah blah blah. Very like kind of surface level things, but I think as you evolve over time and you have more experience, and like as you get older too, I feel like priorities just change, and it kind of almost shifts into like defining success is like your community. Like, how well does your community respond to you? How well do they trust you? Like, have you fostered that environment to where maybe your page creates this like safe space for people or this happy place or whatever it is? Just like, yes, obviously we need to get paid and make money to have a living, and that is important. But I think when it comes down now to success, I would say like, I feel like if you asked me at the beginning when we first started, I'd be like, oh, I want to get paid this amount, and I want to have this many followers, and I want to go to LA and get invited to these brand events, blah blah blah. But like now it would be like, oh, like am I positively encouraging people or influencing people or inspiring people, and like do they trust me and my recommendations? Do I have that relationship with my audience? I think it kind of shifts for just so many reasons. But I feel like now, like, yeah, dollar signs are nice, and I love to hit a certain benchmark every month just for financial security, but that's not like the number one most important thing. And I think at the end of the day too, like kind of like with the ad stuff or engagement, like at the end of the day, if you're like you have your audience and they're showing up for you, you're showing up for them, I think that's like really the best you can do. And I feel like brands work with creators who they know have a good relationship with their audience and who have good content. It's like doing a really good job at your job, basically, I would say. So yeah, well, that is it for our Q&A this week. I think it's a long one.
Very long
Like
episode. I think this will be like an hour and a half,
we had to take
actually
out
more
some
than that.
questions that we'll address in our next Q&A, but you guys submitted such amazing questions this week. Do you want to share our listener of the week?
Yes, our listener of the week is Brianna. Her Instagram handle is BRIANNAXMILLS. She was the girly who wrote in and said that she just hit 10K. So shout out to you,
Yay.
Brianna. You can really tell she's really consistent in her reels. She's killing it on her reels. She has really cute style, and that's just like obviously such a great example of being consistent, hitting your goals, seeing success in this industry. So shout out to Brianna. Go check her out. Again, the cutest style.
Love that. Yes. Congrats, queen. That's so exciting. And I feel like it's so important to celebrate your milestones along the way, whether you feel like they're big or small. Like celebrating each moment, I feel like, is so important. I remember hitting 10K too, and that was like one of the best days. It was
Amazing.
so fun. So, and I still remember that. So I love that she is celebrating that because that's so exciting. But that is it for our episode this week. If you guys made it to the end, we love you so much.
Yes,
We
we love
appreciate
you,
you guys. And
queens.
again, the questions were amazing. Love them so much. And we'll do the rest of the questions in our next Q&A because you guys sent so many. But hope you have an amazing week, and we will chat in our next episode. Bye, guys.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening. We hope you guys loved this episode.
Don't forget to subscribe for new episodes every Monday. Leave us a rating and review, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.